You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm here with Nathan Zagura in the Dog Bowl. We, of course, are reacting to everything we saw yesterday in the AFC and NFC Championship games to decide who is going to Arizona to play for the Super Bowl. I know myself, I am utterly disappointed in the Green Bay Packers and the travesty that was happening there in Seattle against those Seahawks. It was just so unfortunate, but I will put that behind me. And Nathan, as we move on to the AFC Championship game, the later afternoon game, we kind of knew it was going to go this way. I think Vegas kind of knew it was going to go this way. It was just utter domination.
Utter domination, no question about it. The Patriots came out there 45-7, dismantling of the Colts. They beat him up. And how about the season for LeGarrette Blount? How about the season for this guy? Starts the year off, goes to Pittsburgh after being in New England last year, goes to Pittsburgh. I believe he had four touchdowns against Indy last year in
yes.
the playoffs. Goes to Pittsburgh, has the marijuana issue.
Walks off the sideline,
gets cut, and now he's playing in the Super Bowl, coming off a game where he carried the ball 30 times for 148 yards and three touchdowns against the Indianapolis Colts. And they absolutely dominated. And now Belichick and Brady are going to their sixth Super Bowl together, which I don't think will ever happen again for a coach-quarterback combination in the NFL. I just don't think that ever will happen again.
No.
Ever. And I think that this is a team that comes out and dominates. And when you I'll tell you what. Bill Belichick, and I love Bill Walsh, but I think Bill Belichick is the greatest coach to ever coach in the National Football League.
You know what? At this point right now, I think even prior to going, you know, qualifying to play for another Super Bowl, he has to be up there. And I think because as much as football has changed and the rules have changed, some have worked for the Patriots, some have worked against the Patriots. And also, too, as critical as everybody has been, and we talk about bulletin board material and wanting to knock somebody off the pedestal. When you talk about the Patriots over the last decade or even longer, the last 15 years and what they've done with that quarterback coach combo, their target just looms extremely large. And in that division, you got to figure Miami has hired and fired multiple coaches. New York has hired and fired multiple coaches. Now Buffalo has hired and fired multiple coaches. And what I'm trying to bring full circle is, the second Cleveland gets it right, and I believe we do with Mike Pettine, you're able to put a target on who sits atop your division and build a football and build a mentality to go knock that guy off the pedestal. And you have to give Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and that entire organization, you know, Robert Kraft, what they've done there in New England, because they sit atop that pedestal each and every year. And all these teams can go spend as much money as they want, bring in whatever coaches they want, and they just absorb it and spit them back out. And still, in most cases, I'm going to say, you know, out of the last dozen years, they probably got, what, 9, 10, 11 AFC East championships?
I mean, they're dominant every single year. Every single year.
It's almost boring. Like,
it's crazy.
I'm bored with Seattle because of the whole, we're so tough, we're so great, blah, 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 12th man, yeah, make me want to throw up in a black, you know, in a paper bag. It's... You just got to be amazed at what the Patriots have done. I was over the Patriots like three Super Bowls ago, you know, but it's just amazing.
I still like that. I'm not
over them now, and I'm just saying it's amazing with what they've done, and you just kind of have to sit back and marvel at the – and also, too, they play football so differently from Super Bowl year to Super Bowl year to Super Bowl year because the roster is not revamped every year. It's similar, but they just mold into – you know, their identity each and every year. And it's not the same, is my point. And somehow it always wins. And a lot of the reason is because of the consistency they have out of the two individuals that you talked about.
No question about it. They're a team just absolutely phenomenally consistent. And, of course, Bill Belichick, as many here know, a one-time coach of the Cleveland Browns and had the team turned around in 94, 95 before, obviously, they left. And that was the end of that regime. Bill Belichick also... he was a coach who replaced Pete Carroll in New England, which is something that people forget, which I'm sure you'll hear a billion times over the next 2 weeks. But what I think is so genius about Bill Belichick and what he does is that he's not the kind of coach that says, this is who we are, this is our identity, this is what we're going to do to you week after week after week after week after week. This is just what we do. He's going to come out and he's going to go ahead and play against the Baltimore Ravens, and he's going to run the ball 13 times for 14 yards. Garrett Blunt's going to run the ball 3 times for 1 yard in that game.
Yep.
And Tom Brady's going to throw the ball 50 times. And then he's going to turn around and he's going to say, oh, well, against the Indianapolis Colts, we're going to feature the power running game, and LeGarrette Blount's going to run it 30 times for 150 yards. And Tom Brady, and as a team, we're going to run the football 40 times for 177 yards and 3 touchdowns, and Brady's going to throw the ball 35 times. So he tailors that, and defensively, there are games where he's going to say, we're going to let you run on us because we don't care. Games we're going to let you pass on us because we don't care. We're going to tailor our game every single week specifically to the opponent to maximize our chances of winning. And I think that's why he is such a great coach. And I think now with the addition of Revis there, Will Fork is back. They've got Devin McCourty. They've got some very good defensive players. I think they're the complete team. I think they're the best team in the NFL. And that line opened up in Vegas with Seattle being 2.5-point favorites, and it got bet down to a pick'em, and now the Patriots are, in fact, a 1-point favorite there. So the line moved 3.5 points almost instantly.
I think also I was surprised it opened at Seattle being a 2.5-point favorite. And
Such things were legal, I would have said, get all over the Patriots.
Let's go, right? But, you know, I'm not surprised that it changing so quickly. And a lot of that has to do with what teams showed up on the big stage. And it's, yes, Seattle won the football game, but they were beat up. They were out physical. They have questions now in their defensive backfield with Earl Thomas suffering a shoulder injury, Richard Sherman suffering an elbow injury from his own teammate, friendly fire there along the sidelines, which happens. And then again, you look at the Patriots just easily scoring 45 points. Scoring 45 points in the NFL is not easy, okay?
No.
But to essentially do it against a team that made it to the AFC Championship game is very, very difficult. And then also, too, not only is it hard to score 45 points, and they did, but also just limiting Andrew Luck and that offense to 7 points. They were, as we've talked all season long, you know, the juggernaut. Yes, the Browns did their very best in a game they should have won, but Andrew Luck, you know, was rewriting the record books for a lot of the season at the pace that he was on from a yardage standpoint. And I think at one point, was it at halftime, I believe, I heard as they were cutting to halftime, that not one Indianapolis receiver had a reception going into halftime?
Yeah, they locked him down. And that's the thing when you look about, and we'll get in this matchup for the Super Bowl later on, but now that they've got Revis there, what they did against T.Y. Hilton is they didn't put Revis on him. They put Kyle Arrington with McCourty over the top and doubled him everywhere he went. Then Revis shut down Moncrief like it was no problem, and Browner shut down Nix, and they had zero answer whatsoever to do anything.
Check down to Boom Heron is about all they had.
Their receivers caught 2 passes, one to T.Y. Hilton for 36 yards, Nix 1 for 15, and that's on a combined 9 targets. He didn't even attempt to throw the ball to Moncrief on Revis, not once, zero time, zero.
And again, my great friend Bruce Hooley, who of course does an evening show for WKNR, made a point to about Ray Farmer when he talked about a wide receiver in this case, and in this case I'm talking about Revis being a DB, because they don't affect a game on a play-to-play basis like an offensive or defensive lineman does. And I think that's sadly mistaken, because a guy like Revis, or you look at how Richard Sherman affected a football game, you saw how many times did the commentators and analysts talk about Jordy Nelson not lining up over there and Devontae Adams lining up and never really had any targets.
And, well, he went to him in the end zone and got the ball picked off there. And,
exactly.
And that was a great play by Richard Sherman. But I think Ray Farmer would agree the cornerbacks are important. I don't think he thinks receivers are
sure,
as important.
Sure,
but
DBs,
absolutely.
I just meant from a positional standpoint. And again, a lot of the reason, and maybe his comments are coming from the lack of production and the threat that Josh Gordon had on this football team when he came back.
And listen, the fact of the matter is, if you have the quarterback, your receivers can be suspect. You can get by with that. Let's go to Mike in New Philadelphia right now. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I just had 2 questions on the coaching decisions late in the game. One, what do you think about the coaches telling players to maybe kneel it, like at the one, to give less time? I know Green Bay had 3 timeouts. And I know the running back looked like he was about ready to take a knee there.
He was setting up his crotch grab, which has become my favorite thing in football right now. When Marshawn Lynch scores, and the best was, I don't know if you saw the picture of the Earl Thomas pick six against Carolina. Lynch is doing that on the sideline during the return. I think, listen, when it's smart, in my opinion. And I thought there was the Super Bowl. It was the Giants-Patriots Super Bowl, where the Giants almost cost themselves a Super Bowl when Ahmad Bradshaw didn't kneel. He tried to, but did it as he, like, fell into the end zone.
Yeah,
it can be a very smart thing. And I did many shows with Brian Westbrook, who famously did that against the Cowboys, I want to say it was, and fantasy owners were all pissed off at him. And in my opinion, it was an unbelievably smart thing to do. It's strategy. So I think it's fine to do. But when you're looking at it from Seattle's standpoint, they needed to score. They needed that touchdown, and then they needed the two-point conversion.
Right. And
they needed the score.
And I almost think that Marshawn Lynch, when I was watching it, he was running so hard that I think the thought crossed his mind, but his momentum kind of carried it, and then his character kind of took over to set up the crotch grab.
Sure. And one other question I had, the touchdown they made right before the onside kick, they only went for one. Why didn't they go for two there, knowing that if they got the onside kick, they'd still have to go for two, and then if they scored again after the onside kick, they could have went for two and been up 4 points, making a field goal a non-tying issue.
You only go for two when you have to go for two, they say
in
the NFL.
That's correct.
That's why. I think that there are many people who thought that when it was, 19-3, why don't you go for 2-2?
Yep.
Yeah, there are books on that. There are smarter people than I about that, and I would imagine they had all that information. I know that the Browns have an analytics team that would have that information that would say these are the percentages of winning associated with going for two here and not. So I'm pretty sure they are prepared, and I would imagine they were playing it by the books. Now, some coaches go with their guts anyway, but I would imagine they had the information there to make that decision. When we come back, we're going to hear some sound from these championship games on NFC and AFC Championship Sunday. We'll hear from Russell Wilson, Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, and Bill Belichick. Plus, I want to know what you think. Is Bill Belichick the greatest NFL coach of all time? 216-578-0850. Let us know. Bill Belichick. New England Patriots going to the Super Bowl again for the sixth time since he's been paired up with Tomas Brady.